the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad that you are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith on drums, Damian Clough on guitar, and David Dawson on piano.
We are jamming over here.
That's right. Wake up music is always...
It gets you.
Yeah, it gets you moving.
Except for that alarm clock. That's the only one that bothers me. The music is great, but that little alarm clock is...
Well, that's what Jeff has to wake up to.
That hurts.
So, okay. Well, today is the feast day of St. Thomas More and also St. John Newman, but in particular St. Thomas More. And so we're going to offer up one of his prayers to get our show started this morning. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O Lord, give us a mind that is humble, quiet, peaceable, patient and charitable, and a taste of your Holy Spirit in all our thoughts, words, and deeds. O Lord, give us a lively faith, a firm hope, a fervent charity, and a love for you. Take from us all lukewarmness in meditation and all dullness in prayer. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lukewarmness and dullness.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Prayer's big today. I mean,
I like that.
The gospel talks about the Our Father. So pay attention when Father Chris gets going.
Babble meaningless words, right?
That's right. Don't babble.
There you go. Well, our saint of the day is St. Thomas More. We will learn more about this saint later on in today's show. But we have some events in our listening area we will give you details about. That is coming up in... 7 minutes. So join us. We have many events and you can find all of them at our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, we're joined by Dr. Peter Kwasniewski. He is a Catholic author and speaker. And today he's going to be talking about his new book called Good Music, Sacred Music, and Silence, Three Gifts of God for Liturgy and Life. In 35 minutes, David Dawson Jr. joins us. He's the director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Homer-Thibodaux. And today we're going to be talking about making time for personal prayer in a busy home. I can't wait to hear this topic because that is a challenge sometimes, especially during the school year and all of the activities that come with it. Yep. So looking forward to hearing from Dave. And in 48 minutes, Catherine Bogner joins us. She's a Catholic author, and today she's talking about her book, Through the Year with Mary, Ponder and Pray Together with Children. This is such a cute book. I absolutely love the illustrations. They're very colorful and bright, and definitely something that I'm interested in as an adult. Of course, when you're reading to your kids or you're sitting down getting ready for bed, this is such a cute book for them to learn more about Our Lady. So looking forward to today's guests. Damian, looking forward to your weather report today.
Alrighty. Well, sunny to partly cloudy skies. That's what's in the forecast. 20% chance of rain. As a matter of fact, right now, rain is along the Gulf Coast and trying to move inland, but currently it is in the Gulf primarily. You folks over in Golden Meadow, Houma, as well as Port Sulphur, you will see some rain in about 3 or 4 hours from now as it moves onshore. Otherwise, just try to beat the heat. High today is going to be around 92, 93 degrees, winds out of the north-northwest at 7. That'll try to keep things cool. Friday and the weekend, pretty much the same as what you can expect, so plan accordingly. Temperatures in and around the area right now. In Gulfport, it's 76 degrees. Over in Homer-Thibodeaux and Baton Rouge, it's 77. 75 in Covington, and already warming up, 81 degrees in New Orleans. Wow. So there you go. In the meantime, don't go too far, because coming up, we have events, but we also have the gospel and a reflection here on Wake Up.
good Thursday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
Today's Gospel affords the impossible task of commenting on the Lord's Prayer in a few hundred words. The early Christians prayed this lovely prayer three times a day. It is also deeply embedded in the Church's worship, in the Eucharistic celebration, and in the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. During the Mass, it becomes the prayer of the entire Church. It reminds us that we are in the last times, that is, the time of salvation, that began with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost as we await the Lord's return in glory. St. Paul used the touching name Abba for Father in the context of our adopted sonship that we achieve in Jesus. The adoption as the Father's children in Christ by the sacraments of baptism incorporates us into the body of Christ and makes us other Christ. St. John also captures the intimacy of this unique relationship when he wrote, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." And as a result, our relationship with the Father should overflow with confidence and complete surrender. The very name Father transcends all created categories, for He is Father in a way that is beyond anything created, for He is eternally fathering the Son. Whenever we use the love language of this prayer, we enter into communion with the Father and with the Son in the Holy Spirit. The Father's love requires two fundamental dispositions on our part. First, we should ardently desire to become like Him. Secondly, we must always approach Him with a humble and trusting heart, just like a little child. And finally, because God is our Father, our relation with others must cut through all races, sexes, cultures, classes, parties, and any other distinctions. Therefore, no matter how despicable or downtrodden, regardless of their offenses or brokenness, they are my brothers or sisters because they are also God's children. Collectively, we are all His adopted family. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you for that reflection, Jimmy, and the Gospel reading, Father Chris. It's 11 after the hour on this happy Thursday morning. Damian Colano, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, we are all here with you, and we are so glad you are with us. We have a few events we want to share with you, one in particular. The latest Saints by Number painting retreat is scheduled for this Saturday at J. Zumo Art Gallery on Interline Drive in Baton Rouge. A number of people have been attending these because you walk away with a beautiful painting, and you don't have to do a whole lot other than make sure you put the colors that you want in the painting itself. The painting retreat theme is the Eucharist, and Father Todd Lloyd from Most Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church in Baton Rouge will be the guest speaker. He's going to speak on the miracle of the Eucharist while you do your painting. With this being the year of the Eucharistic revival, this will allow you the opportunity to paint, pray, and praise God. The event will be from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Again, that's Saturday. All supplies are included as well as lunch, and you'll get to go home with your very own painting. For more information, go to jzumo.com or ccmedia.live.
You just need to show up.
Yeah.
And paint between the lines.
That's it. That's the key.
Yeah.
That's the key.
For me, that would be. All right. There'll be a natural family planning presentation on June 29th from 7 to 8. in the Malasaw Center at St. Catherine of Siena Catholic Church in Metairie. Dr. Angela Parise will provide an overview of the many benefits and options of natural family planning. And you'll also hear from a panel of married couples providing brief testimonies. Couples and young women are invited to attend this free presentation. I recommend engaged couples checking this out. I learned so much from my natural planning, natural family planning course about just about Lisa, my wife,
everything.
In general. Yeah, it applied to so much. It was really amazing. I was surprised and happy I took it. So there'll be time for questions. And resources are going to be provided too. So please RSVP so we can get an accurate head count by registering at scschurch.com/NFP or go to catholiccommunitymedia.live.
ccmedia.live is a website you can go to find out that,
that event. I'll get it right. Sorry, Gabby.
That's okay. Well, Our Lady of Mercy in Baton Rouge is having their ACTS Women's Retreat on September 21st through the 24th. I know September is so far away, but these fill up so quickly. So I would highly recommend, if you're interested in going, to take a look at this now. You will depart from Our Lady of Mercy on Thursday, September 21st, and return for noon mass at Our Lady of Mercy on Sunday, September 24th. The spiritual retreat will be at the Solomon Retreat Center in LaRanger, Louisiana. Did I say that right?
I think so.
I want to make sure.
LaRanger?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And the cost of the retreat is $275 per double occupancy. For Mercy parishioners, it's $350. Oh, wait, no. $275 for Mercy parishioners, but it goes up to $350 if you're not a Mercy parishioner.
Ah.
But registration opens on June 26th, which is in a few days. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information.
Oh, I like that. That's one way to get new parishioners at the church parish.
Quick.
Join and we'll save you money. You get a discount on the retreat. Well, St. Peter's Catholic Church in Covington will have their family praise and worship service. That's this Saturday, the feast day of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. There will be praise and worship, talks, adoration, confession, prayer teams, and much, much more. St. Peter's Catholic Church is located at 125 East 19th Street. In Covington. For more info, go to ccmedia.live. All right, folks, those are just some of the events. You can go to ccmedia.live and see all of them and take your time and peruse and pick the ones you'd like to attend. Right now, it's 15 after the hour. It's Thursday morning, and you're listening to Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 22nd. Today we celebrate St. Thomas More. His belief that no lay ruler has authority over the Church of Christ cost Thomas More his life. He was beheaded on London's Tower Hill in July of 1535. His crime was refusing to approve King Henry VIII's divorce and remarriage and establishment of the Church of England. Thomas More was indeed a man for all seasons. He was a literary scholar, eminent lawyer, gentleman, father of four children, Chancellor of England, and lay Franciscan. He was known for his intelligence and wit, as well as his integrity and loyalty. A deeply spiritual man, he believed that true allegiance to authority is not blind acceptance of everything that authority wants. King Henry himself realized this and tried desperately to win his chancellor to his side because he knew Thomas More was a man of integrity. When it became clear he could not be won over, Henry felt he had to get rid of him. In 1935, 400 years after his death, Thomas More was canonized a saint. In 2000, Pope John Paul II named him patron saint of politicians. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Eighteen past the hour on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson along with Damian Collada and Gabby Smith. And on the phone right now, we have Dr. Peter Kwasniewski. He's a Catholic author and speaker. He's going to talk about his new book, Good Music, Sacred Music and Silence, Three Gifts of God for Liturgy and Life. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
You know, I have a feeling I just got the book on my desk yesterday afternoon, so I didn't get to read it last night. But it is a beautiful book, and just thumbing through it, I can see the direction it's going in. I think there's a lot we're missing out when it comes to sacred music and the origins in the Catholic Church and kind of where it's gone nowadays. Talk about that.
Sure. Yes. Well, you know, I like to remind people that, you know, the Catholic faith is the inheritor of really 3,000 years of religious culture and tradition, mm-hmm. going all the way back to Israel and the formation of the temple cult in Israel and the law given by God for the worship, which included lots of musicians. If you read those books of the Chronicles, which most people, you know, kind of drive through with their windows rolled up or maybe don't even pay attention to, mm-hmm. You know, they're full of detailed, you know, rank on rank of musicians, right? And the Psalms talk about music all over the place. The Psalms were all meant to be sung.
Right.
And so this is the culture that the early church inherited. This is what our Lord himself was born into and chose for himself, you know, because he was in charge of history, so he designed it for himself as he wanted it to be. And then the early church continued in that way, singing liturgy. You know, in the first millennium, the first 1,000 years of Christianity, all liturgies were sung. There wasn't the idea of just a recited liturgy. It was, you know, really unthinkable for people, and that's still the way it is for the most part in the Eastern churches. They sing their liturgies all the time.
And it's done in chant, right?
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. And all traditional religions, in fact, even beyond Judaism and Christianity, but let's just stick with those, they chant the liturgical texts. I mean, right. Chant isn't a style of music that was invented, so to speak, after the liturgy. It just simply is the liturgy being sung, mm-hmm. to its traditional melodies. And so that's one of the reasons why when people hear Gregorian chant, it really throws them into another world.
Because it's
music that is so old, it's so ancient, that it doesn't sound anything like the later musical styles that developed, right?
No, and I know for a fact, it gives you a certain sense of peace. When it did come about, when they were re-releasing it on CDs, I remember not too long ago, they became bestsellers. People just wanted to hear that, right?
Exactly, and you probably know about the famous Benedictines of Mary in Missouri, who
yes.
have been in the news all over the place because of Sister Wilhelmina, mm-hmm. their foundress. But they've recorded, you know, dozens of CDs of
yes.
both chant and polyphony, mostly singing in parts, which they do very beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And those also have been bestsellers, you know. So people are definitely thirsty for beautiful sacred music. And sadly, they often encounter it more in, say, a Hollywood film, you know,
yeah.
about the Catholic Church than they do in their own parish, which is a sign of how upside down things are in many ways.
Well, I can tell you one of my favorite things to do, we have an abbey close by, well, within an hour of Baton Rouge or New Orleans, but it is St. Joseph's Abbey, and if you go there in the
yes.
evenings, you can sit and enjoy and sing along Vespers with the monks, and it is one of the most beautiful, peaceful things I know I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
But then it fits into the liturgy, because when you hear this done for the Psalms, it just makes the liturgy all the more richer, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I talk in the book about, you know, how singing is a higher, a loftier expression than
mm-hmm.
speaking is.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking is what we do when we're just trying to communicate information, you know, or just trying to come to an understanding, you know, whether it's about ideas as we're discussing now, or commerce, or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
But speech is you might say on a kind of plain everyday level, but who is it who sings? Well, people sing because of joy. They sing because of sorrow. They sing because of some tremendous either emotion or belief that they have to express in a higher way, in a way that soars and is more penetrating, right? And this is the origin of all music, really.
Yeah. So you're talking to a child of the 60s, okay? So mass for me was quite interesting. And we had a lot of interesting instruments and different ways of singing, and it can get pretty rough at times.
Yes, it's true. And I mean, one of the things I go into is just the teaching of the church in the area of music is quite a bit richer than most people would realize. They might even be surprised to see all of the different papal documents that I quote, and the consistency of them. There's really a very strong theme running through them, which is that the music used for liturgy, and again, I'm not talking here about a prayer group or a Bible study or a camp, youth camp or whatever. I mean, those can, you know, we could talk about that another time, but we're just talking about the liturgy, the Mass and the other sacraments, the divine office. The Church really discourages secular styles of music, styles that are strongly worldly in character, that are associated more with, you know, with the radio stations and the disco and whatever,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. That's true.
These are... And that's because when we go into church, we're really in a certain way we're supposed to leave the world behind and give our hearts mm-hmm. and our minds to God and raise them up to Him in His heavenly court. The Byzantine liturgy even says, right, there's a famous hymn where they say, "Let us leave all earthly cares behind." Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. This is what we're supposed to do in the liturgy. We're not supposed to be tapping our foot to the sound of the mm-hmm. guitar and the drum set, you know, yes. that's completely foreign to what we're doing.
You know, if you go back to the origins of the liturgy of the Catholic Church and you let the liturgy speak for itself, it's quite beautiful. And it does. You're absolutely correct. It takes you away. Some of the most beautiful masses I've been to have just been basic liturgical masses.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. So yeah, and along those lines, people are surprised to discover that if you look in the official liturgical books, this is more so the case before the Council, but it still is the case after the Novus Ordo, that there are texts and even musical melodies specified for nearly everything that is to take place in the liturgy. Right. You know, there's an entrance antiphon and an offertory antiphon and a communion antiphon, and the whole Mass could be chanted just with the liturgical texts. So the idea that we always have to be looking around for four hymns, you know, it's been called the four hymn sandwich, you know, the entrance hymn, you know, offertory hymn, communion hymn, closing hymn. This is a completely foreign import into Catholic worship, even though it's unfortunately become normative almost everywhere.
Well, talk about the instruments in the liturgy, the instruments meaning the musical instruments. I'm seeing a sort of a resurrection of the pipe organ. Talk about that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. I mean, it's crazy to think about the fact that at a certain point in the 60s, and in some places it was earlier than 1969, monasteries, parishes, they went almost overnight from singing sacred music to bringing in guitars and singing folk songs.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even a gradual transition. It was just bam, all at once, you know. And so the pipe organ definitely fell into a period of decline in many churches. You know, it was just sort of gathering dust.
I think some were removed, you know.
Yes, of course, in the so-called recovations.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely in recent years, certainly traveling around, you will much more commonly experience the pipe organ being used as a primary instrument at Mass. This is again just in accord with the teaching of the Church. And the Church says that the pipe organ has a particular splendor and nobility to it, and it's an instrument that seems to be consecrated to a sacred purpose. It's true that there is secular organ music. It's true that, you know, that some composers have written organ concertos and things of that sort, like Handel and Poulenc, and Saint-Saëns. But for the most part, when people hear organ, just like with chant, they think church. I'm in church.
Right. You associate that. But, and once again, it's to take you away from the world, right? It puts you in another frame of mind.
Yeah. Dave, I don't know about you, but I'm in my 30s, okay? Mm-hmm. I, even as a kid, always cringed when I saw a choir member take out a tambourine, or I went to a new church and there was a drum set covered by some kind of plexiglass.
Yes.
It just felt wrong to me. I don't know, for some people, they like that. I don't. I want to feel like I'm stepping into heaven. That, I found, has been the most profound of Masses that I've been to.
Yeah.
And with the chant or anything like that, even as a kid and going to Steubenville conferences in high school, the most profound moments of those conferences were not like the Christian parts of the band that were playing to hype the students up. It was the Eucharistic devotion during that time. I don't know, maybe I'm more of a traditionalist in that way and seek more of the tradition of the church instead of the pop drum sets
sure.
that we sometimes see.
Sure.
And then, That's just a young person saying that.
Well, part of the title of your book is Sacred Music and Silence. Doctor, talk about that. Oh, wait.
Yeah,
you know what, Doctor? I just realized I'm looking at the time, and we are almost out of time. We need to know where to get this book. There's so much we could cover here.
That's fine. Besides, if we said if we talked too much about silence, I don't know whether we'd be able to say anything.
Any silence,
really.
Yeah.
So, no, you can get this book from Tan Books, the publisher, and you can get it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local Catholic bookstore. So, please check it out.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we appreciate you joining us, Doctor, and I'm gonna read this book.
Thank you so much.
All right. It's 29 past the hour, or it's 30 past the hour on Wake Up. We'll be right back.
Fine before the top of the hour on this Thursday morning, and welcome back to Wake Up. With us now, David Dawson Jr., Director of Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. He's one of the Bayou Boys down there, and he's here to talk about personal prayer in a busy home. Dave, with today's gospel being focused on the prayer of the Our Father, the perfect prayer, help us out.
Yeah, man. So I think one of the things, you know, we haven't ourselves journeyed through trying to find ways to prioritize prayer and trying to figure out that journey. And also we've been blessed to journey with a number of married couples who are also trying their best to grow in their own prayer lives and their holiness together as a couple and that kind of thing. We've noticed a couple of trends for us and for them that it can be very difficult to break into a habit of praying at home. That if there's not already something kind of built into my day that's kind of spoon-fed for me, you know, that I can just show up and it happens. To be able to just pray when I'm at home, especially on a daily basis, is way easier said than done. Like, you know, I remember we can, you know, go to a meeting and everybody's like, all right, we're going to do it. And here's where we're going to do it. And here's what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. Here's what it's going to feel like. And then you go home and it's like it doesn't even cross your mind again until you're at that meeting again. You know, like it's like it's just gone. There's these wires that just don't connect between my thoughts about praying and how much I like prayer and how much I want to pray and how much it's probably going to work and actually doing it when I'm at home. And then once you break into, okay, like, why am I not doing it? Typically it's like, cause I can't even picture how I could possibly find time or space or change my schedule. Like there's just no room for me to fit anything like that in. And that tends to be, I think, the biggest obstacle for most of us is that like, there's no way I don't have the time to stop what I'm doing. And there's people who are constantly demanding my attention. There's stuff. And then by the end of the day, here's why I'm just toast, you know, crash. I'm going to wake up as early as possible because I got like things I got to do. And there's just no way, you know, and that's typically, I think the biggest obstacle for us is that to break into prayer is that it just feels like there's just no possible way we could fit it in.
Yeah, you're looking for a quiet space and that's just impossible.
No,
nowadays.
It's not.
Yeah.
All right.
No,
all right.
No, it's not. I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning. But that's when I made time for my personal prayer. But it is difficult. I won't say it's not, but you got to prioritize. That's the first recommendation I'm going to give anyone and make it an important part of your life. But what suggestions do you have, Dave? That's just me.
Better than 4:30 in the morning.
4:30 in the morning for 30, 40 minutes. Eesh. I had a prayer chair. The kids knew exactly that chair was where Dad was going to be at that time in the morning.
Wow.
I think part of it is we hear that kind of thing, and I know there's a lot of listeners who are also have good habits. I think the hard part is, you know, when you hear that, it's like, okay, if I don't have good habits, how do I get from where I am to what you're talking about? Because it's usually not just one step,
right?
It's usually a bunch of baby steps. Yeah, and it takes a while. And what we have to realize first, and what I had to realize, was that like the reason I'm not prioritizing it it's got a lot less to do with time. You know, like if I don't want to get up at 4:30 in the morning, I don't have time in the evening. It's got really, honestly, it's got a lot less to do with time and a lot more to do with desire. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to have to fight the battle of like, are you listening? You know, I don't want to fight the battle of like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
And when I go to scripture and I hear people say, you go to scripture and you pray and God talks to you, like it just doesn't happen for me. You know, like I have to fight the battle of like, I don't know how to do this well.
Yeah.
And I feel like a disappointment and God doesn't speak to me. So why would I do that? And so to say, I'm going to find time for that. It's just like, you know what? I'm not going to find time for that. I've got a million other things that I'd rather be doing. So that, I think that breaking through that, honestly, we're going to find time. So like if I've got no time at all, and then one of my kids, you know, my wife signs him up for baseball or flag football or something like that, guess what? We're going to find time to get him to practice. Whatever the coach tells us to do, we're going to do.
That's true.
And because there's a value there that we said that we're going to do for him. And with prayer, it's the same thing. If there's something that breaks my understanding of like, hey, look, there actually is something here, and it usually takes hearing somebody in my state of life being like, hey, look, just take a step. Just give it a shot. You know, try today. And like, it's funny, they asked Jesus, how do you pray? He's been up on the mountain all night, you know, with the Father. And he's like, how do you do that? And he's like, pray the Our Father.
Yeah.
You know, like, take it easy. There's a focal point here. Put yourself in God's presence and just recognize that, like, look, this is not complicated. You don't have to be good at this because God's already good at this. And if you look at the words of the Our Father, he's like, look, God's already good at this. All you're doing is you're putting yourself in his hands. So I would say baby steps is the way to go. Number one, actually stopping and doing something is the name of the game. Like they say with exercise, if you can't do all kind of stuff, do one push-up. Start there, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with prayer. Like stop and do something, and you're going to figure out after a while, like this is actually really, really good. For me, fighting this battle of like, look, I'm going to spend, you know, this much time in prayer. I'm going to spend this much time in silence. It's like, you know what? Stop. Expectation is lower. If you can break through and find the time, then you can begin to improve upon that time. It's the same with relationships. If I don't know somebody, that first meeting is going to be tough.
Yeah.
But after a while, the more we get to know each other, communication becomes naturally, you know, easier. Mm.
So what resources do you recommend, if any, to help in your place of prayer time?
Honestly, I think if you haven't already started doing this, it's just a matter of stopping and giving it a shot, putting yourself in God's presence and asking him for help. Extremely simple. If you already have prayer time, I think something very important here is to not pat ourselves on the back and assume, all right, we got it. Because just like with marriage, if I think that I've arrived and I'm checking that box, I'm lying to myself and I'm missing out. That there's always going to be room for improvement and God's always going to be calling us deeper. So I would suggest if you've got a habit that it's kind of gotten a little stale, and you don't want to admit that to yourself because you don't want to try a little harder, I'd recommend praying with scripture. That's, I think, going to be the thing that's going to break things open. Take a look at some resources for Lectio Divina. Mm-hmm. And even if you've seen stuff before, take a look at it again. Praying with scripture is going to be a great way to improve your experience and your relationship with God and that time of prayer that you've got. If you've already kind of got some basics, Lectio Divina is going to blow it wide open. It's going to make things to where it's like this relationship has just become just on another level, much more personal, much more real, and God is bringing new things every day. It's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't have to be in the morning. It doesn't have to be in the evening. I mean, there are times where one schedule can be in the middle of the day, whether you're working at an office and you could shut your office door for 10 or 15 minutes. Take a break. You're going to go to lunch, maybe leave 15 minutes early or finish lunch 15 minutes early. Stop in at church. A lot of the churches are back open. The chapels are open again. And so go in and visit with the Lord and be with the Lord there, even if it's just in silence. We just talked about that in the prior interview, didn't really delve into it, but silence. you don't have to do all the talking, as the gospel says today, right? Let's not babble.
Exactly. And one of the things I think is an easy obstacle to get caught in is rationalization, to say, okay, look, I'm on my way to work, you know, I'm silent there, I can pray there. But the truth is, I was challenged with this, like, this really should be when nothing else is going on.
Right.
And the same way with my wife, if the only time I'm talking to her is when I'm doing other things, it's not going to go well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've got to be able to stop and focus. And it's the same with prayer. Like, it's not going to do me any good if the only time I'm doing it is when I'm doing other things. So, for me, it's got to be when the kids are in bed. you know, if I can get time at work, that's great. But like, it's usually going to be after the kids are in bed or before they wake up. You know, one of those, and you know, that's just kind of a tough thing. But like, it's amazing how you find time for the things that you want to do. But yeah, I think being able to say, look, even if it's just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, give it just a little bit of extended time to say, I'm here, you're here. What is that about? Help me out. That is probably one of the most fruitful, most sincere prayers you could pray. I'm here.
Yeah.
You're here. What is this about? Help me out.
Help me out. Help me out.
You won't leave your hand. Yeah.
Very good.
Yes, yes.
Boy, I was just thinking sometimes when I'm watching something else and my wife's talking to me and she asks me if I'm listening, I could say, no, dear, I was praying.
And, yeah, good luck with that. Aww. Good luck with that, dear. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
No, I don't know if that would work. No.
Yeah, let me know how that works out.
In the meantime, right. David Dawson Jr., if people want to chat with you directly, where could they go?
Yeah, look, htdiocese.org, Office of Parish Support. They check me out. Happy to help with whatever we can.
Amen, brother. Thank you, as always. We'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thank you much.
All right, folks, 45 after the hour, we're moving right along on Wake Up. Coming up next, Catherine Bogner. She's here to talk about a book that you're going to want to hear about on Wake Up.
It is 48 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. Our next guest is Catherine Bogner. Catherine is a Catholic author, and today she joins us to talk about her book called Through the Year with Mary, Ponder and Pray Together with Children. Catherine, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Morning, Gabby.
Well, you know, I honestly think that your interview is so timely because I actually just got this alert from Catholic News Agency this morning. Pope Francis has advanced the sainthood cause of Sister Lucia dos Santos, the eldest child to witness the Fatima apparitions. In a decree signed this morning, the Pope recognizes Lucia's heroic virtue and declares her venerable. The church will now need to approve a miracle attributed to her intercession before she can be beatified. She was 10 years old at the time of the apparitions in 1917. So how timely is that?
Wow.
That the Pope signed that this morning?
Nice.
Just got that notification and talking about your book Through the Year with Mary and how we can pray with our children. So take us through this wonderful book.
Yeah, oh, that's so exciting. I hadn't heard that news yet either. My students are going to be thrilled when they hear that. They always ask, well, what about the third visionary? When is that going to happen?
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. So the book Through the Year with Mary is really intended to be a resource for families or even in classrooms, like in Catholic schools or parishes with catechism classes. And every week there's a different topic about Mary. So it could be a dogma of the church. It could be an apparition like Our Lady of Fatima. It could be a devotion that we have, like the rosary or a certain prayer about Mary. And for that reading that week, there's like a kid-friendly explanation that the parent or teacher can read. There's a beautiful full-color page of artwork that goes along with it. There's questions that are kid-friendly, and there's always a prayer. So the idea is it's kind of like a one-stop shop. You can open it up and have all those resources at your fingertips to have great conversations with kids about our Blessed Mother.
You have weekly passages from scripture, sacred art, and Marian prayers. For children, this can be a lot. So how can we get started on something like this and teach them the uniqueness of our faith through all of these things?
I mean, you can pick and choose. Like as a parent, you know your kids, especially if they're little ones. So sometimes if you have maybe just preschoolers, for example, I would recommend using the art. Kids are just captivated by it's all beautiful sacred art that is from literally around the world and covering like at least 5 or 6 centuries. So even just to open it up and look at the art and ask what they notice and what that depiction of our Blessed Mother kind of tells them. And then also every week there's a different unique Marian prayer. And so maybe then you just pray the prayer together. And then as kids get older, to actually talk about the history of those devotions and apparitions and beliefs that we have about Mary. So I think that you can you don't have to do all of it at once. There's so much to learn about the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so just to do a little bit at a time and to kind of build on that as kids get older.
I remember my son in his religion class in kindergarten was doing a connect the dots, and it, you know, turned out to be Our Lady. You know, he would just connect the dots and it would form to Our Lady, and then a paint by numbers, Damien, of Our Lady. So, you know, just different fun things like that. And then you see, oh my God, her different shades of blue and everything, and her different, you know, outfits that she's depicted, Our Lady of Guadalupe and different stuff like that, and seeing all the colors come to life. Catherine, what was your inspiration behind writing something like this or putting this together?
Well, the first book that I had the opportunity to write with the St. Paul Center is actually called Through the Year with Jesus. And so it's the same format, except every week it goes through an aspect of the life of Christ and kind of follows the model of the liturgical year. But it still has that full page of sacred art, a passage from the Gospels, questions to discuss with kids. And I wasn't even done with Through the Year with Jesus before my editor and the publisher and people who knew I was writing it were saying, well, you're going to do Through the Year with Mary, right? And so it just kind of flowed naturally because we have so many beautiful, rich teachings and traditions about our Blessed Mother, and every single one of them points us back to Christ. Every single one of them teaches us something about Him. And so it was really a wonderful gift to be thinking through the second book while kind of still working on the first, to show how the life of Mary always points back to Jesus. And that's the goal of the book.
What is the age group?
So it's really flexible. So like I mentioned earlier, with little kids, you can kind of pick and choose and maybe just look at the artwork and the prayer or start to tell some of the stories. But I teach junior high, and so kids at that age can absolutely independently use it and read. So maybe, you know, with the news today about, you know, the visionaries of Fatima, they want to know something more about that, but at a kid-friendly level. And so they could, you know, use the index or the table of contents and flip to that section and look at the artwork and read about the visionaries and the apparition. So, you know, little ones can do it alongside adults, and then older kids, you know, junior high and up, can use it as an independent resource.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Catherine Bogner, Catholic author. And she's talking about her book today called Through the Year with Mary, Ponder and Pray Together with Children. Catherine, where can we pick up our copy?
So the St. Paul Center is my publisher. I love to support them, and I also love to encourage people to shop at their local Catholic bookstores, and then it's available at all the normal places online, too.
Thank you so much, Catherine Bogner. Catherine, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Gabby.
Well, and if you're in the Baton Rouge area, check out our local Catholic bookstores, also underwriters of Catholic Community Media, St. Mary's Books and Gifts, and also Catholic Arts and Gifts, Ziegler's Catholic Arts and Gifts, both off of Florida Boulevard, I believe. So you can take a look at them. It's really fun to step into stores and you get lost, at least in my experience.
At this book online, it's got beautiful images of it and everything.
Yes.
And it looks like it's...
Don't forget Mulays in New Orleans.
Mulays. Yes,
that's right. Yes. Thank you, Jeff. So. Thank you, Damien, for reminding me about that as well. Yeah. But yeah, so pretty cool. I will actually post this article from Catholic News Agency right after the show ends so you can take a look. But so Pope Francis this morning advances the sainthood cause of Sister Lucia. In a decree signed today, he will recognize her heroic virtue and declare her venerable. Remember, he canonized the two other Fatima visionaries in 2017, who they died at age 10 and 11, and they are the youngest non-martyr saints in church history.
Wow.
So fun facts.
And she was 10 when she saw Mary?
She was 10 years old at the time of the 1917 Marian apparitions, and she outlived the other visionaries, surviving until age 97.
97. Wow. In fact, I think I remember seeing a picture of her and Saint John Paul II together, right? Did you see that?
I did.
That image? Oh,
I'm sure they were, though. I'm sure
he went to visit her. Yeah.
To meet her.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. That is awesome.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Well.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Are we finished? Are y'all got more
to talk
about?
Shall we pray?
We can. Today, by the way, begins the week of religious freedom. Not sure if a lot of people are aware of that, but that's a week in the church that we like to focus on, starting with St. Thomas More, and it ends with St. Peter and Paul next week.
This is a
feast days.
Good thing to pray for, though.
Oh, yes, especially right now.
Yes,
even
nowadays.
In our country, even though we have religious freedoms, it's being tested for sure.
Yes, it is. Yes,
so
it is.
We will pray in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I believe in you. I believe that you love me, that you are close by my side, and that you will be walking with me throughout this day. I trust in you, Lord. I trust you more than I trust myself because you are infinitely good and all-powerful. I love you, Jesus. I love you because you died on the cross for me to save me. Lord, teach me to pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
St. Thomas More,
pray for us.
Pray for us. Thank you so much for joining us. Mm-hmm. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. It's going to be a great show tomorrow. We're actually talking about, of course, events in our listening area that you have submitted or sent to us. But also, Deacon Richard Eason with St. Anne Church and Shrine in Metairie, they're talking about Ashley Code cause to canonization.
Oh,
she
wow.
was a young girl over in Metairie.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, you got to hear her story, and you got to hear Deacon Richard talk about this. Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, will join us, and Terry Dixon with the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper for the Diocese of Biloxi will update us. So have a wonderful Thursday, and talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.